Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Cloudy day in L.A. If your chi is up, then your blood's flowing and you don't feel cold. Have you gone out and stretched your tendons so that you feel nice and warm in that very, very brisk December air? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is not a show about herbs. It's a show about function, how to function better. And if you need herbs to do it, then so be it. But more importantly, fundamental to herbal nutrition is understanding how the body functions. And we're going to get into that today because I have another gangbuster topic for you. Now, if you've noticed over the last 4 weeks, even 6 weeks, what I'm having an absolute joy doing is going into the old literature. And I'm pulling up cleanses, concepts, notions about health that were once legion, upstanding, that led the forefront of what we call nutritional therapy today. But they had a different slant, and they were researched by different groups of people. And what I'm getting at is something that I'm realizing more and more. You see, the last 50, 60 years of nutrition have been a little bit biased. And the reason is it hasn't been researched literally by the types of people we had 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we weren't really using pharmaceutical drugs. 150 years ago, we were at the golden age. We were beginning an age in science where we were starting to develop microbial technologies, real micro technologies. We were using the microscope. We were using experimentation to understand physiology and chemistry and things that were unparalleled in world history. And the people that did this were the best. I have a picture of one of the best on my last picture. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Hopefully you're on the website, picture number 18, the older gentleman with the beard. That's Metchnikoff. Now, I've brought him up before. Metchnikoff was one of the early microbiologists. He was the equal of Louis Pasteur. And they are credited with different perspectives in microbial theory. But the point is that Metchnikoff understood two things. Number one, he understood that what you call bacteria, what you call the microbe, what you call the microbial titer, in other words, in any given moment, the amount of infection that you don't know you have, that's kept under lock and key in the body, that's suppressed so you don't have symptom. But at any given moment, the overall microbial ecosystem in your body is controlled by the aggressivity of your white blood cells, how aggressive they are, how active they are. And number two, the terrain. Now, this is very different than Pasteur. Pasteur, although I don't really think he started that way, he ultimately became credited for focusing on how to kill the microbe, and that was sort of an interest to chemists, and it produced microbial sort of pharmaceutica. But Metchnikoff, independent of Pasteur, over 100 years ago, focused on terrain. And that terrain is the terrain that you're cultivating each and every day that you call your health. Inherent resistance to disease. The other part of it, and that's what's relevant to today's show, is that there's a cell in there, an immune system cell called a white blood cell, or a leukocyte, we call it. This leukocyte looks like an amoeba. When you see these blood cells under the microscope, they look like amoebas. And it's interesting, when you do this to different types of people, because sometimes you look at these cells under the microscope and their white blood cells are not moving. They don't seem to have that amoeboid-like locomotion. They don't seem like the kind of white blood cells that would chase down a bacteria or go in and clean out a rotted out part of your tissue. Got to remember, these white blood cells, when they exist not in the blood, but in the intercellular fluid, where all those scars are, where all that precipitation is, where all those metals hang out, so on and so forth. When these leukocytes, these white blood cells, when they live between the cells of your organs, they're called macrophages. And these macrophages are really the sanitation men of your intercellular space. They control the terrain. Now, concept about a macrophage or a white blood cell, or what Metchnikov, who you're looking at there, picture number 18, won the Nobel Prize, no joker, understood that these macrophages had an aggression to them, or they didn't. And if they were aggressive, life changed. You healed. You could go to battle, get cut, be on the verge of amputation, so on and so forth. And if you had an aggressive macrophage system, you could, one, resist disease, and number two, those macrophages, if aggressive enough, could clean out a scarred site. That if there was tissue destruction, if from chemical toxicity, from physical injury, if there was tissue destruction before you could heal, or as you healed, or what controlled your healing of these destroyed tissues, in part depended on the aggressivity, the aggression of the macrophage. And this was noted. And so Metchnikov, right from the beginning of microbiology, understood if you had an aggressive white blood cell, an aggressive leukocyte, really in your tissues an aggressive macrophage, you could heal things that your neighbors couldn't. Now, in the 1920s, and I'm going to cite a medical doctor by the name of Walter Guy, published an article in 1930 in a medical journal called New World. And the article said that there was something about hydrochloric acid that the stomach produces, that animals produce, that we all produce, that stimulated the aggression of the macrophage. That in fact, there was something called hydrochloric acid therapy. Now, it wasn't used to enhance digestion. It was used to cure terminally infected situations. Now, again, this is in the 30s. This is in the 20s. This is before antibiotics. And this is my point. If you've looked at the articles over the last 6 to 8 weeks, as much as possible, specifically the one on precipitation and disease, a number of shows ago, what you're finding and what I post onto the site are articles written in the 20s or the 30s or the teens, referring to other doctors, scientists like Metchnikov, who were publishing things that I'm going to tell you we've forgotten about, that had massive, dramatic effect on human health. Only, I'm going to call this the golden age. Not that the future's bleak, but I'm going to make my point, call those writings in nutrition, covered in dust and forgotten, were the golden age of nutrition. We ought to be looking backwards into the 1860s. Now, why? Why and how, in the unlimited amount of technology today, in the unlimited amount of literature about nutrition, why would I advise to go backwards? I will tell you why. Because that golden age, 1840 to 1930, 1850 to 1930, it created a special set of circumstances, and this is what I want you to really take into yourself. We had doctors then who were evolving technologies. Pasteur, Metchnikov, right there as an example. And these doctors, to find cure, had to first explore mechanism. In other words, before you decide how to cure a disease, you've got to understand the pathogenesis, how the disease is produced. So we have this special time frame, for the first time in human history, where doctors have finally assembled enough technology to begin to really get into the mechanisms behind what constitutes disease. So called to battle are the greatest minds across all the lands. Every scientist worth his salt, the best that we graduated all over the world, America included, put their minds to the task of understanding mechanism. Only there's something really, really special going on. They didn't have a pharmacopoeia yet. They didn't have pharmaceutical drugs to apply to the solutions. And this forced something. It persuaded something. It coaxed something. The natural tendency, after studying mechanism, looking for disease, the natural tendency without pharmaceutical alternative, because we hadn't developed them yet, the natural tendency is to look to how the body heals it by itself, naturally. You have to understand what we called the medical doctor of yesterday, of 1930, of 1920, 1910, 1890, 1880. Heavyweight minds, great minds, brilliant minds, passionate men were forced, even if they wouldn't have otherwise, they were forced to come up with therapy and cure because they didn't have a pharmaceutical alternative. You have to understand that, or you won't understand my tendency here to want to uncover the dust off the lost volumes. That's really big. Because what it tells us then, really, is that there's under this dust, an entire volume. There are litanies of basic physiological systems that we can trust, explored by the greatest minds of the time, and that all sought natural cure. So by 1930, when Walter Guy publishes in a medical journal on hydrochloric acid therapy, it's because he's studying a comprehensive volume of physiology that many types of doctors understood. And today, I doubt even doctors learn, truly. When you go into the literature to try to understand some of these articles, it points to nothing half the time because the literature's disappeared. Names are mentioned and few things are substantiated. They speak a language. These people, Walter Guy I'm referring to, Ferguson, in this case, people that understood hydrochloric acid therapy, were writing articles and just publishing findings, but there was a language between them that was a product of the understanding of the mechanism of health. You can't even find it today. It's not in medical school curriculums. It's not in chiropractic school curriculums. It's not in naturopathic school curriculums. It's not in acupuncture curriculums. It's not in Ayurvedic medical curriculums. It's floating out there in cyberspace. Huldah Clark had a piece of it. Walter Guy had a piece of it. Along the way, Dr. Rogers out of Austin, biochemical individuality had a piece of it. Diadamo had a piece of it. We have this scattered database out there in cyberspace. And this is our challenge today. Because what you're getting over the airways, what you're getting on YouTube, what you're getting in books, three quarters of the time is just cyber junk. Because it was never rooted in the hard science of yesteryear. What I try to give you, and what I'll continue to, is the stuff of yesteryear that was worked clinically, functionally, time and time again, that can't be argued. And this hydrochloric acid therapy is one fine example. It cites what Metchnikoff said. Increase the aggressivity of the macrophage and watch the body regenerate to rebuild the tissue. So you out there with your symptom, with your disease, with your lackluster existence, shy of radiant health, understand at 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 that you have to break down tissue to regenerate tissue. And what do we find? Hydrochloric acid, a therapy. Now, what is this therapy? Well, first, we've got to understand what we call a gastric gland. So go to picture number 6 and look at what we call a gastric pit. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. We get right into it. If you're driving and you can't, unfortunately, be on the website looking at the pictures, just listen along. I'll describe it for you. The inner lining of the stomach is a bunch of glands. We call them gastric pits. And there's different types of cells. There's chief cells, there's parietal cells, there's mucus cells. Now, a parietal cell produces hydrochloric acid. A chief cell produces pepsinogen. A mucus cell obviously produces mucus. Now, here's the deal. The pH of that stomach will range from 1.5 to 4. Right there, we have a whole volume in medicine. The idiocy, the absolute sin of drugs that block hydrochloric acid production. Pepcid, Protonix, proton pump inhibitors. You'll understand that more deeply in a moment. In this stomach, if the pH of the stomach, if the number of hydrogen ions in solution in the stomach, controlling the acidity, pushes the pH down to about 1.5, 2, not 3, not 4, if it stays deeply acidic, you do not get sick. You don't get sick. And mind you, there is a factor on record, studied hundreds of times and hundreds of times. If a person is sympathetic dominant, it will completely shut off the flow of hydrochloric acid. You'll boost your pHs in the stomach up to 4. Right there. 80% of the immune system lives in the digestive tract. Why? Because that's where 80% of your disease begins. You don't get disease through your lungs. You don't get it through your skin. Well, you do, but you don't. The body's put to safeguard your health, 80% of the immune system. You see, you got to study, and you got to find things that are interesting, and then you got to think. Why would our bodies evolve with 80% of our immune system cells in the gastrointestinal tract? Because that's where 80% of the disease begins. That's where 80% of the pathogens come in. You don't get those pathogens. They die a very early death. They cannot pass the test of getting through the high acidity of the stomach. Now, there's a great, great story. Weston Price, dentist, Price Pottinger Institute. Look that up. Great, great, great collection of scientists with great insight into health. Did tests. They assayed the gastric fluid of animals, mammals, cats, dogs. Those animals run a much, much higher acidity. And yes, they're carnivorous, purely carnivorous, thus they need a much higher gastric acidity. That's not the point. The point is that you can feed them rotten meat, maggot-infested, disease-producing meat of any sort. You can put the most lethal pathogens. You can paste it onto the meat and stuff it down the throat of an animal, a dog or a wolf, a cat or a tiger. And the acidity within the stomach will destroy, completely sterilize that meat. Now, this has been done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And there's a message there. Move the pH of the stomach into that 1.5 range. Keep in mind that stress will completely and totally shut off that secretion of protons and chloride ions into the stomach. But if you're in flow, if your autonomic nervous system is balanced, and if you understand then that that acidity is your safeguard to infection, you have an enormous advantage. Now, when you get infections, into different parts of the body, especially the kind of infections that come from physical traumas, and physical traumas are a wonderful test of an anti-infective therapy. Believe me, 90% of the herbs we claim are anti-infective herbs wouldn't make a dent in an osteomyelitis, wouldn't make a dent in a war wound, wouldn't make a dent in something truly suppurative. In other words, infected and bordering on septicemia, where the tissue was so rotted out that the infectious particles, the staph, goes into the blood and creates a secondary septicemia, and that's death time. The body tries to burn the infection out in the blood, so the fevers shoot to 106. Find that article. Hydrochloric acid therapy. Degenerative disease and its ideology by Walter Guy. I don't have this article on the website. Technical difficulties with it. It's a 1930 publication. Walter B. Guy, G-U-Y, M.D. And understand what Guy was getting at. That you could go to the front of war, and you could take a limb that was almost gangrenous, and you could inject hydrochloric acid in a dilute therapy to a patient that was septicemic. And that injection, over a period of weeks, in a drastic way, where all else failed, would turn that person's body into the picture of health. And what they studied, and they could study it under the microscope, was as you injected it periodically with the dilute hydrochloric acid therapy, they could study the macrophages coming to life. It would multiply them, and it would make them more aggressive. And this is exactly the point. Because number one, if your pH is in your stomach, you understand we're not talking about taking hydrochloric acid. We're not really talking about digestion right now. We're simply talking about the factors that control the production of adequate amounts of HCl and the studies that have been done to show that you'll turn that production to nothing and spike up the pHs in the stomach simply from stress. Now, it's 1930. We don't have antibiotics. We're looking for natural mechanisms. We had a number of mechanisms to destroy the worst forms of infection, but it was always cost-benefit. You could kill syphilis by injecting someone with mercury. There were ways to cure disease, but they were costly. They might kill the microbe, but they'd also kill the person. And this has traditionally been the issue. Antibiotics included, the chronic use of antibiotics, the use of intravenous antibiotics, cost-benefit. Well, how can we argue the acute solution? But the chronic solution for seriously infected chronic cases is barely worth the benefit, because it doesn't really kill the infection. It minimizes it. And yet the downside to the antibiotic is lethal to the person long term. So here we have a therapy as old as 1930 that's basically finding that there's something special about first bringing up the gastric acidity to the point it should be, and then number two, injecting or by oral administration enough hydrochloric acid into a person's venous system to increase the aggressivity enormously of the macrophage and start to render that isolated infected tissue absolutely and completely infection-free, that the HCl would sterilize it. Now let's look at hydrochloric acid. Number one, produced in that gastric pit, but we can't overlook the chloride, the chlorine. The chlorine is an irritant. The same way you can think in terms of chlorinated water as a disinfectant, chlorinated water as doing something in a swimming pool. Now, of course, there's natural chlorine, right? Sea salt is sodium chloride. Then there's potassium chloride. Chlorine exists in all sorts of fruits and vegetables. The body ingests chlorine all the time. The body excretes chlorine all the time and sweats sodium chloride or potassium chloride. But what we call this chlorine atom is a special type of atom. It's particularly aggressive when it's in dissociation. That means that sometimes chlorine is bound to another atom, as in hydrogen chloride or potassium chloride. But when it dissociates, and if it's in an environment that forces its dissociation, chlorine looks around. And it likes to irritate things. It likes to scrub them. You have to think of chlorine like a scouring pad. I don't have the time to get into the science of ionized chlorine, but the fact of the matter is that if you have enough of it circulating in your intercellular fluid, it has a job to do. And that job is to effectively degranulate the swamp, the gooey, filthy, toxic swamp in between the cells of the body. Now, go to picture number. We have picture number here, 11, on the site. Go to picture number 11 and take a look at picture number 11. That's the intercellular space. Those red things are all capillaries. The green things are lymph vessels. The blue things are veins. So understand this intersection point here. Take a look at the flow of intercellular fluid into lymphatic capillaries. It's the title of the page. It's page number 11 on the site. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Press the literature section. Open up today's show and look at the different frames I've put there for you. Picture's worth a thousand words. And understand that if this lymph, pictured in the green, is flowing, then what we have in that purple space in between the artery, the vein, and the lymph, we've got water. Our cells live in water. And that water is a product of the blood plasma that comes out of the tiny little capillary. And that water out of the tiny little capillary is drained through the lymphatic system. So we have a flow there. We have a flow of blood in, bringing nutrient and other things we don't want. And then we've got a drainage system, which is the venous system and the lymphatic system. And that lymphatic system, if it begins to plug, if the chemical environment is not correct, if you're precipitating too much in that space, so looking at that picture, in that purplish space, if you're precipitating too much calcium phosphate, urate, if you're precipitating too much granule, too much crystal, then the lymph, instead of being clear, then the water between the cells, instead of staying clear, begins to get turbid. And as it builds up, if you're dealing with an infection that lives in the cell and between the cells, the immune system can't get to it. The immune system is designed for a normal physiological terrain. And if you find yourself with a chronic state of infection or an infection or chemical terrain that exceeds the body's ability to break it down, you have a massive problem. That infection then will defy an antibiotic. That infection will defy drug therapy. It will defy normal physiological processes because in that intercellular space, it's a swamp. It's a place where infection can hide. Now, if you drop battalions of chloride ions, hungry, aggressive, scouring chloride ions into that space, you have a massive arsenal of weaponry. And if, in addition to that, you enhance the aggression of the macrophage, now you have aligned your macrophages, you've aligned your chloride ion, and you're set to go. You're set to go to chew through that turbid, granulated, mucus-ridden fluid to find out where the microbes are hiding, to eat them. So you've got the chloride ion that's breaking the swamp down, and then you've got the macrophage that's enhanced in its aggression to go in and find the infection and eat it. Phagocytize it, we say. We say that the amoeba engulfs the microbe. Now, there's a problem with this therapy. And the problem with the therapy, this is the beauty to the evolution of science as it approaches natural cure. The problem with it is, if you put hydrogen ions from hydrochloric acid, if you take large doses of it, if you have it injected intravenously, or if you take large dosages of it orally, and we'll get to that, the hydrogen ion that hits this intercellular space. So take a look at another page, page 14. That's an even better example of the intercellular space. Remember, you've got capillaries through their veins, but in this picture over here, again, that's picture number 14, you see that big green lymphatic capillary surrounded by all those cells. Those cells are cells of any organ you want, any organ that's cancerous, any organ that's infected, any organ that's cirrhotic, any organ that's deteriorating, any organ that's symptomatic, any organ that's in trouble. That big green lymphatic capillary next to the entirety of those cells, and those green arrows, that's the intercellular fluid that I'm talking about. Now, you've got to put chloride ions there because they'll degranulate the water between those cells. And then you've got to take hydrogen ions. And hydrogen ions will do what? Well, I can't get into the mechanism, but the hydrogen ion, and this is why you use hydrochloric acid therapy, those hydrogen ions are the light speed button to the immune system. As Metchnikoff pointed out, an aggressive macrophage is health. Well, what they found is that hydrogen ion will increase that aggressivity. But you've got a problem. The problem is if you put hydrogen ion in there. Now, I know a lot of you know this. I know a lot of you are following this. If you put a mass of hydrogen ions into the intercellular space, it makes that space acidic. So although you can increase the aggression of the macrophage, those hydrogen ions can lower the pH in that space. So we do want a low pH in the stomach. We don't want a low pH in the intercellular space. That's why you're always trying to alkalize the intercellular space. But cost-benefit, you're pumping hydrogen ions into that space to increase the aggressive power of the macrophage. And that's the dilemma. That's the dilemma that demanded and taught Walter Guy and others that they had to use hydrochloric acid therapy with large dosages of potassium. That if you used hydrochloric acid in conjunction with potassium chloride, you delivered a knockout punch. Because what the potassium did was keep everything in the intercellular space soluble, while the hydrogen increased the aggressivity of the macrophage, and while the chlorine just tore through the swamp and took out all the muck. Now, that's what they understood back then. They understood how to use ions, cell salts, they call them. How many of you have been to the local health food store and you hear something or read something or find something vague and forgotten? Tissue cell salts. I want to hear from you. I know someone has heard of this. I remember as a boy going into stores, health food stores, and there'd always be this little book on the end, this little cheap $5 book. It would only be thin and shallow. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Cell salts, tissue cell salts, obscure today. You don't find it today. You find all sorts of stuff about how to eat. We didn't really need to know how to eat in 1860. We were eating farm food. In 1930, the food was still relatively clean. We still had a topsoil. It's not where everybody's attention was. We hadn't developed, really, a sophisticated herbal perception of reality back then. It hadn't hit America. It had barely hit Europe. And yes, people did herbs, but what the medical doctors, what the scientists focused on was minerals. There was this idea that somehow mineral balance created health. If you look at Bernard Jensen in The Chemistry of Man, if you listen to him talk about a guy named Racine, R-O-C-I-N-E, look the name up from Sweden or Norway, rather, V.G. Racine, understanding that the health of the body was about mineral balance. Well, this is the context in which they were understanding it. This is the context in which they were applying therapy. It's not a health therapy that focuses on herb. Why? You have to think of herbs. Aside from the little tricks that herbs do, which are critical, but you have to think of herbs as plant medicines that come in and effectively try to regulate mineral balance. You've got to understand that. We're getting into the crux, the fundamental drive on what we call regeneration of tissue. Normalizing mineral balance in the body keeps you healthy and cures your disease using your body's sense of how to return to normal physiology. Hydrochloric acid therapy. If you can get that article by Walter B. Guy, it is unequivocally, unarguably, one of the most powerful testimonies of how the human body is designed to heal if we could just look at it based upon what it does and how we can accelerate what it already does, not interfere with what it already does. It represents really where the fork in the road occurred. There was a time when there was no such thing as holistic medicine. There was no such thing as Western medicine. There was no such thing as allopathic medicine. It was a bunch of people, the smartest people in all the continents that came together to understand mechanism and what to do about enhancing it, because we didn't have drugs at that time. So we were forced into understandings like this. Now, what does that mean to you? And by the way, I know I've overlooked a couple little tidbits, but I know you can find out all the good things that HCL does anyway. Let me say this simply. There's barely such a thing as mineral absorption, particularly for calcium, most likely for zinc, most likely for iron. There's really not anything like mineral absorption without proper amounts of hydrochloric acid, because the HCl running the pHs of the intestinal tract. So keep in mind, the pH of the stomach needs to be highly acidic. The pH of the small intestine is way towards alkaline, around 7 to 8. And the pH of the what? Of the large intestine needs to be acidic. Acidic, alkaline, acidic. If you reverse those pHs, if you make the pH of the stomach alkaline, if you make the pH of the small intestine acidic, and if you make the pH of the large intestine alkaline, you die. You get sick. You don't feel good. So you got to get it right from Jump Street. Now, assuming you've got the pH in the stomach truly acidic, you're going to allow yourself a setup whereby the pancreatic enzyme then can do what it's supposed to do. And the pancreatic enzyme, that's for another show, but that pancreatic enzyme will take the textured proteins from the stomach, textured by the pepsin, partially digested by the pepsin, and unfolded by the hydrochloric acid. And it'll render it ready to be broken down into amino acids. And that's easy to understand, and it's easy to access that information. But there's another little ditty about hydrochloric acid. And that is, the pH is going to control the ecosystem microbially. The pH is going to control the tendency to rot the food or not. The pH is going to control the amount of butyric acid you produce. The pH is going to control the amount of lactic acid you produce. And those acids are poisonous. And those acids, if they're produced in abundance, will diffuse into the tissues and start to create all sorts of pH imbalances in between the cells. So if you don't get that hydrochloric acid, bare bottom, produced in the right quantity to control the pH, you're going to poison yourself with butyric acid and lactic acid. You're going to make sure that you don't sequester the amount of pathogens in the intestinal tract. You're going to deny your body in the intercellular space, not in the GI tract, but way out in your organ systems, you're going to deny your body those hydrogen ions, which keep your macrophages aggressive. Now, what about the chlorine? Well, that chlorine is used, as we just said. But this is another link, solubility. If the HCl is abundant, then your minerals, from your iron to your calcium, perhaps your zinc, there's a whole slew of them. Those minerals will stay in free dissociation. Now, free dissociation, big word for very simply, a lot of your minerals are bound up in the food. They're bound up as part of larger molecules. And the body's not going to absorb them because very, very often, say in the case of fiber, the mineral you want, the iron that you want, the calcium that you want, the zinc that you want. You know, research lags here. We have strong evidence. I put some of that. If you look at pages 1-5 on the site, if you look at page number 1, hypochlorhydric stomach, a risk condition for calcium malabsorption and therefore osteoporosis. Great article. Again, a real article. Scandinavian Journal of Gastroenterology. 5 pages, simple. I put it on the site for you. Now, you've got to pay to get that article, so I put it there for you. But that's where the information really lives. And what they're going to go into in that article is an explanation that unless you've got enough hydrochloric acid, you won't keep your calcium, you won't keep your iron, very possibly you won't keep your zinc. And we, I'm sure, can add to that list. We haven't done enough research yet, but we know, at least in a number of these cases, we know that what we're dealing with is poor absorption of mineral, because without hydrochloric acid, that mineral won't dissociate, won't stay free-floating in your intestinal tract for easy absorption. It's like the product Carl Legend. We say that's ionized calcium. So there's calcium carbonate, and that's calcium bound to carbonate. And that's a problem for absorption. Calcium carbonate, oyster shell calcium, is bound. But that's true of zinc. It's true of ferric iron. It's true of many types of minerals. If they're bound, you don't get them through. There's your HCl. There's the purpose of your HCl. Without the HCl, you don't get free dissociation. So HCl, just on the basis of its natural digestive capacity, is massive. But you see, the intercellular fluid is a tricky space. The intercellular space, when you talk about disease, very often you're not talking about the GI tract. You're talking about sequestered places, places far away in your intestinal tract, places far away that your body cannot drain. Drainage. What fights you? What you fight? Nine times out of ten, when you can't heal, when you're working hard to get it fixed, but you can't get it fixed, what you're fighting is inaccessibility of the site. You can't drain the site. So if you go back then to that wonderful picture, picture number 14, you've got to break down those swamps between the cells. And you can't do it unless you figure out dynamic ways to do it. Now, you can understand, obviously, you have to move your lymph. You can understand, obviously, you have to thin your blood. You can understand, obviously, that if you can take a manual physical manipulation. But what people miss is that these systems, these techniques, don't really work biochemically with focus. Biochemically with focus is a whole other level of cure. And this is where real nutrition can have real dramatic impact. Hydrochloric acid therapy. Taking betaine hydrochloride, mixing it with potassium, taking it into the body. Yes, you've already been exposed to that. I want you to guarantee yourself from this point on that you'll understand what's really going on and why this is a, you can't pass on this. I also want you to understand that the body makes normally in a day about 3 grams of hydrochloric acid. 3 grams of hydrochloric acid is what a healthy body will make. And you can take that down to no grams. If you have a capsule of hydrochloric acid, and that capsule's 500 milligrams, if you're taking 6 of those in a day, you're making, roughly speaking, about the amount of hydrochloric acid you make anyway. If you take 12, you make double. If you take 18 a day, if you take 18 capsules, that's about 9 grams of hydrochloric acid. If you take 9 grams of hydrochloric acid a day, you're making about 3 times what your body makes. If you take 12 capsules a day, you're making 4 times. If you take 30 capsules a day, you're making about 10 times what your body makes in a day. Now, this is what Walter B. Guy did. This is what an entire lineage, Ferguson. I put on a couple of links. There's an article from the Townsend Letter. It's called 3 Years of Hydrochloric Acid Therapy. Check that article out. Well, there's one by a guy named Pat Block. Dr. Block is a naturopath. It refers to Dr. Bryant Guy. It refers to another HCL medical doctor, Dr. Burr Ferguson. It refers to that article, the medical world, where you can access that article. I put on the website another link to hydrochloric acid therapy, but I showed that you can get the full article if you click it. Point is that hydrochloric acid therapy is for you to do orally for yourself. If you're taking hydrochloric acid, you can evolve that act into something beyond digestion. And you can understand the mechanism, because to understand the mechanism is then to understand how to do it for yourself. Hydrochloric acid can burn the stomach. So you have to work often with supervision, but common sense says move slowly. Take a good hydrochloric acid capsule. Take 2 with a meal. If it doesn't burn your stomach, a week later, take 4 with a meal. Move slowly, move cautiously. And take some sort of a potassium supplement. take a potassium supplement like Activator, add it to the hydrochloric acid, and then picture that intercellular space and ramp that number up as long as you're comfortable and move slowly and cautiously. Because if you create too much detoxification in the body, it's going to be a rough day. In other words, this is a therapy like a gallbladder flush that you have to finesse based on common sense. Just like you can use a screwdriver wrong, just like you can use and drive a car incorrectly, when you're taking something as simple as the digestive enzyme, something you call a digestive enzyme, which the literature will tell you is way more than a digestive enzyme, if it's not used intelligently with common sense, judiciously, well, then you can have a rough day. In other words, too much can burn. Too much, if you force it on yourself, can detox you. If a person's drainage ports, if the lymph channels, so enjoy your education here, because now you can really see it. If you look at picture 14, you can see this. If your lymph gets clogged, as you take hydrochloric acid in far too intense a dosage, if you increase the amount of it where the numbers are running too high and it overloads the lymph, what are you going to do as you create all that death and degranulation of tissue in between the cells? If you block the drainage port because you overload the drainage port, then what? You're going to create a localized mass of dead flesh, and that's what we call an abscess. So let's say you had an appendix, and that appendix was partially or on its way to infection. If you were to be foolish enough to take hydrochloric acid in dosages that are far too large, then you're going to end up what? You're going to end up sending all that hydrogen, all that chlorine into a site that's already extremely toxic. And when all the death occurs in the area, if the lymph overloads, it's not going to go through the lymph. It's going to come out your skin. Look at the beauty of your education there. You can picture that in your head. You can see the picture of it on picture number 11. And if you can understand that, then you know what? You can understand how to move through this judiciously. Move slowly. If you're going to increase your dose of hydrochloric acid, and starting at two capsules of betaine hydrochloride with your meal, three times a day, two of the activator, which is potassium, two digest, which is protease, lipase, and amylase, two, two, and two. Next week, increase the hydrochloric acid by one. The week after that, increase the hydrochloric acid by one. Increase the activator by one. Have a 2-to-1 ratio between the hydrochloric acid and the activator. Don't split hairs, because the exact amount, that's for your body to tell you. But move slowly and listen to your body, and you'll see you'll be able to accommodate more and more and more. If it burns, stop. If it burns, slow down. Cut back. If it burns, what are we waiting for? If it burns, we're waiting for the mucus cell in the stomach to produce more mucus to buffer the acid. If you kill the mucus cell in the stomach, the amount of hydrochloric acid that's produced by even an achloric stomach would burn a hole through the gastric wall immediately. The only reason we can produce hydrochloric acid in its pure form with a pH of about 0.9, which will burn a hole in metal, the only reason we produce it is because the mucus cells buffer it. So if you're loading down a lot of it too fast, you don't give your mucus cell a chance to catch up. Furthermore, if you're in sympathetic dominant distress, your mucus cell won't work at all. So it's a journey. So it's not one size fits all. So it's a bunch of different variables blending together to create health. So it's understanding the principles of healing so you can understand the rough spots and so you can more elegantly move through your healing. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Every week I bring you the stuff dust-covered. Dust-covered modern, dust-covered past. But I kid you not, you can always take what I tell you to the bank. And that's got to be the future of nutrition. We've got to get rid of the mysteries. We got to get rid of the magic. We got to get rid of the upsell. We've got to use herbs for what herbs are truly worth. And we've got to ask you, the public, to get educated. Educated like you'd get educated about anything that was vital to you. And since your health is vital, you have to get educated. 714-850-1077. 714-850-1007. If you're spinning around and lost in this mess, you give that number a call. You come down and see me. You sit in my office 1, 2, 3 hours, and you get put on track. You get educated. You be willing to get educated. You come to the school I offer you. You go onto the website, straighttalk.cc, get into the archives, look at those 131 shows, take them into yourself, and get to another level. If your health is important to you, don't kid yourself. There's no way around this. You either do it right or you waste your money and your time. And anybody that knows me knows I won't waste your time. So pat yourself on the back. Hydrochloric acid therapy with potassium. I gave you the idea. I gave you the science. Now it's up to you to take a shot and see how your body feels. Good message for the holidays. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.